Mike Quinn is the plaintiff attorney. Tell us about this family and Purdue, Mike.
Hey, thanks for having me on this afternoon. Yeah, this case has been going on, like you said, for a long time in bankruptcy, almost 6 years. And the judge approved a new settlement deal and plan for this payout just yesterday. You know, it's based on Purdue's activities over-marketing the prescription drug OxyContin and marketing extended relief opioids in general. And because of the activities going on at Purdue and based on the activities of their owners, the Sacklers, you know, lots of states and counties and communities and individuals sued them. And the case has ended up in civil bankruptcy.
And of course, it all started because they want to hold the company accountable for their role in the opioid crisis. How many people died? What do they estimate during that crisis?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I can't say that the bankruptcy happened because they wanted accountability. The family and Purdue was just trying to limit their liability in what they did. But over, you know, since the early 2000s, I would say, you know, nearly a million people, 600,000 to a million people have died from the opioids.
My gosh. In many of these cases, and I know this is probably out of the scope of what you're here to talk about, but I'm just trying to understand, in many of these cases, were those prescribed drugs and then an addiction formed and that led to a more serious addiction?
Well, that's kind of one of the cruxes of our issue with this entire case. You know, Purdue and the Sacklers really pushed, quote unquote, extended relief opioids as being non-addictive. But what they knew, the company knew, is that these were being the huge prescriptions were being diverted onto the street. And so people were buying the drug, produced drugs on the secondary market. Now, the only people that have a claim, according to Purdue in this case, are people that were actually prescribed the drug, not everybody else who got their hands on it through the diversion market. So, you know, it's tough because Purdue is saying, okay, we'll pay you out if you had a prescription to our product. And that could be like 10, 15 years ago, and there's no way to even get that proof of the prescription now. So a very limited number of people are actually going to be paid out for being, you know, forming a substance abuse problem with opioids.
So you are working with the plaintiffs. Tell me about the plaintiffs.
Yeah, so this isn't a traditional case where it's plaintiffs against defendants. You know, this is a case where everybody kind of got thrown into a bankruptcy. So you have like states represented by states attorneys general. You have individuals that I represented, you know, families that lost loved ones and or they became substance use disorder having that themselves. Then you have counties, you have hospitals, you have municipalities. There's just an endless parade of claimants. So I represented a number of individuals who either lost their children or they themselves became addicted to opioids. And my claims were actually pretty interesting because they were like families that got really involved in activism against Purdue. And some of them had been working to try to bring this thing to a head and to seek accountability for nearly 20 years.
And the tragedy is these are people who might have initially been prescribed that drug. I've got a husband right now who's laid up, who's on it, wouldn't be able to get through the day without it. I mean, he's only on day five, and he already said today he's trying to wind down because it is highly addictive. But for many people, it was something prescribed by their doctor. The next thing they know, they're addicted, or in some cases, as you described, they continued to get the prescription and then sold it on the secondary market to make money. It's just stunning to me that this many people died and it took this long to find someone to be somewhat accountable.
Sure. And don't forget, this is a settlement. So they're not, Purdue's not claiming like, yeah, what we did was illegal and wrong. They're just settling the cases. But I feel for you and your husband because you can tell it affects the household. It affects the, you know, family operations and life is stressful enough. But, you know, the sad story is I had clients like, one whose son had a football injury, and the doctor insisted that the mom, my client, give him OxyContin at a very high milligram level, and she went back to the doctor and said, "Hey, like he's acting very strange. He's demanding these drugs. Can't we get him off?" And the doctor said, "No. Actually, we'll prescribe him even more you know, let's just keep them on it. It's going to help them. And the whole medical industry had been sort of convinced that this was a miracle drug, that there was no addiction. And, you know, her son died years later from opioids. So
it sounds
it's a really, really tragic situation.
It sounds like a scene out of Demon Copperhead. Have you ever read that book?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what she wrote about, you know. And then there was Dope Sick by Beth Macy. There's been both fictional and nonfiction writing about this. There's been TV shows. There's been movies. It really captured the nation as far as, you know, this company was a corrupt company, a corporate company that acted on the benefit of its shareholders without really thinking of the consequences it was causing to our country.
Bob Kessler is our afternoon news anchor. He's got a question for you.
Yeah, obviously, this has led to a lot of mistrust by people toward the pharma industry. But do you think the settlement could be a deterrent from something like this happening again?
No, because if you look at the bankruptcy, Purdue, as the corporate entity and its owner, Sacklers, pushed their company into bankruptcy. So they kind of kept their hands on the steering wheel of this legal action the whole time. That's what's so kind of tragic about it. You know, the first sin was what happened, what Purdue did to our nation as far as getting people reliant on this drug. And now, even when they said, okay, now we're going to be responsible for it, they led the drive about what kind of liability they would deal with and what they wouldn't deal with. So you have all these parents who say, geez, my son took this pill at a party and died, and I can't even get any compensation for that.
Well, keep up the good work, Mike, because it's a tragedy that affected millions of people in this country, and it'll be interesting to see what shakes out from it. Thanks for joining us today.
Great. Take care. Bye-bye.
Mike Quinn, plaintiff attorney in the $7 billion settlement with the Sackler family in Purdue about OxyContin. And I always say OxyContin. Cotton, what's the correct pronunciation
on
that?
I think it is OxyContin. Yeah, there's a couple more consonants in there.
Okay. Now I'm nervous. I'm going to tell the dancing farmer, no more. Switch. Go back to Tylenol or something. But, you know, when you have extreme pain, that's the drug that works. Hopefully people don't take it in a form that they should not, that leads to addiction.